testing.
I'm on the star. Chandler Nemitz.
That's it.
Goat Air. Heating and cooling. Not the other way around. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm so excited to talk with you. And, you know, we're just going all in, like, cold. We usually, like, have conversation beforehand, and I'm like, man, I wish we had gotten that on audio. So we're going to try something a little bit different today, so don't be scared, man. Is this your first time podcasting?
It is.
You're going to have a lot of fun.
Cool.
Most people, when they leave the session, they're like, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we're excited to have you. So welcome, man. Tell us a little bit just about you. How did we get here? How did we earn the opportunity to sit at this booth with you, Chandler?
Oh, no kidding. So where to start? Recently moved out to Texas about 6 months ago, end of July, or January, I'm sorry. And I had an air conditioning company down in Florida. I built it about 5 years ago and was able to sell it off to somebody that wanted to buy it. I built the business well enough to where somebody wanted to purchase it. Short story, I can get into more details with it.
But, I want
to
sell something.
It wasn't the idea at the beginning. The idea was to build a company that was built well, treated customers right, and did good work and stood behind our name and our reputation. Took a lot of pride in our work and just ran with it. And then after 5 years, I had a conversation with one of my good buddies that he's an electrical contractor down there, and he was trying to expand into air conditioning as well. At some point, he was going to. It wasn't a question of how, it was when.
Yeah.
Right. So we had conversations about that, and just got brought up that, hey man, what do you think about us kind of merging over and taking over your company? And you know, here's what we'll do.
I think I'm gonna start asking people that. Sure. What's it gonna take for me to take over your company? I bet if I ask 10 people, I'll get one person be like, maybe.
Ask Thomas Chavez first.
I bet you would. You'd be surprised because most people want a way out. They just don't know how to get out.
Right.
They don't have an exit strategy. They don't have an exit plan, nothing like that set up, and they just don't think about it. Most people create a job for themselves over the course of their lifetime or whatever it may be. They don't build a business, right? They don't build a business well enough to where somebody wants to buy it or put processes and stuff in place. And that was kind of what we focused on was, if we're going to do it, might as well do it. And there was still a lot of kinks to work out, you know, that we were working on. That was our goal.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we had 400 and something five-star reviews and nothing less than five-star. I held a very high expectation for everybody that worked for me. And
have you ever had a bad star review?
We did have one, but again, it's a matter of, I don't run from those problems. I head them straight up. Whatever I was doing at that time, I saw a review come through, dropped whatever I was doing, I went and knocked on their door, said, hey, obviously we failed somewhere. What did we do? How do we fix it? Let me make this right. I'm not going to run from it. Most contractors would run from it. I'm going to head it up and make it right and do 10 times better than what, obviously, we delivered to you.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest part is a lot of companies, a lot of contractors shy away from that just because they don't want to deal with it. They already made their money and off they go, and who cares about the review? To me, it was more pride, and I wanted to make sure that I built something.
People look.
Yeah.
I always say people won't necessarily tell you that, hey, I researched you, I went online, didn't like what I see, therefore I'm not going to work with you. They just won't work with you.
Yeah, they just don't even give you the benefit of the doubt. Right. They don't give you a chance.
So then we attribute that to, well, you know, they ghosted me, or maybe they just decided to work with somebody else. And the answer is yes, they ghosted you and they decided to work with you, but it was because you had a bad social presence, right?
Sure.
But they're not going to give you that feedback.
For sure, unless you ask. And then, and then I wouldn't be afraid to ask that to people as well. Just be like, hey man, just curious, why, what was the reasoning? What did we do? Where did I fail? Where did I fall short? Because I have nothing. It falls on me. At the end of the day, I'm steering the ship, right?
Right.
Everything falls on me. So I want to know the good, bad, the ugly, everything about it to know how to adapt and be able to pivot sooner than later.
Right.
And that was just kind of how my mentality was growing this company was, dude, just do good work, treat people right, price your price fair. Obviously, people go in business to make money. That's the whole concept, is to make money as a business.
Right.
There's a lot of risk involved. And that's just what we did. So I hyper-focused a lot on the quality of work that we did, the customer service that we had, and anybody that was, you know, I brought on as a new hire was, don't be the first person to get that less than five-star review. Like, this is my name on it, and my name's on the door at every single time, every day. Don't be the first person to get that review.
Right.
So it kind of not struck fear into him, but it was just like, I mean, this is who I am. My name's on this. This is my reputation that I have in this area.
I mean, I think as long as you're upfront, set the expectation up front, right? You know, we have a similar, you know, model here. So ours isn't based around what you're describing, but what my point is, like, we set expectations right up front. One of our non-negotiables is don't be late to meetings, right? I mean, if you're late, you know, it's not the end of the world, right? But it's a practice. It's like, don't practice being late. If your tire legitimately blew on the way to somewhere, then obviously that's excusable, right? But just to walk into a customer's Zoom and say, "Oh man, sorry, I'm late. I just had a, you know, insert bullshit excuse here." You know, they know that, right? And it's the first impression. And so now you've set the standard right up front that you're not organized, you're not good with time, you can't manage your schedule, and you're just going to, like, just randomly apologize to the customer and say, "Oh, well, you know, sorry, whatever, move on."
Yep.
It means nothing.
It tells you a lot about somebody as well, though.
Right.
I mean, I try and be early to everything that I can be. Again, unless you see you have a flat tire, something unexpected happens. But if it comes down to you hitting the snooze button or you procrastinating something in the morning,
right,
like, that's unacceptable. It's an easy, simple practice that some people may not mean anything to. But
right,
to me, it's like, it shows a reflection of who you are and what you stand for. Like, respectfully, other people's time.
Right. Right?
That's something you can't get back, is the time. So even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, if you do that 50, 30, you know, 100 times a year, how much time are you really wasting at the end of the year? Just by sitting there waiting because somebody didn't have enough respect for you to show up on time.
Right.
It just, when you start peeling the onions back and seeing layer and layer, like, where it can actually lead to and the way you think about things, that's kind of how I feel about it, is be respectful of people's time.
Right.
You can't get that back.
Yeah, you can't get that back.
100%.
Yeah. What are some other areas, Caitlin, that you've seen just in, you know, working with a large amount of business owners over the last several months? You know, what are other things that you think are important to them, you know, from that perception? You know, so we talked about 5-star reviews, talked about punctuality. What do you think is kind of another key factor in that?
Well, for me, since I'm selling something to them, how educated I am on the product that I'm selling, they really care about that. And the data behind what we're selling, they want to know the numbers of the success rates of the automation that we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the meeting I was just in, he asked me, of all the messages that were sent out from the LinkedIn account, how many people responded? And the value of being able to just pull up my computer and say, "Well, here's the campaign that I'm talking about." Of the 22 people he messaged, 17 of them responded.
Right.
You know, they value that a lot.
Yeah. Data. Yep. I always tell everybody that I would ever bring on, because in my industry, covering your ass is the biggest thing.
Yep.
You're going into people's house, you're providing a service. If you're the last one up in somebody's attic, and next thing you know, they have a water leak coming from somewhere other side of the house that you didn't work on, guess who the last person up in that attic was? Me.
Right.
The AC guy. So pictures, documents, videos, everything uploaded to a form, a software that says, "Hey, no, here's how we can tell you we did our job right," was because we did a checklist that says A, B, C, D, E, F,
yep,
G, and it's covering your butt.
Right.
And I always tell them, said, "Dude, I don't care. I put 150 pictures in there. I don't care. The man with the most information wins." And I learned that probably 10 years ago from a guy that I used to work with. He said, "Man, the man with the most information wins." And it just stuck with me. And I'm like, it's so true. Like, the more data you have on anything,
right,
any given subject, you're going to be more educated. You can make a better educated decision at the end of the day. And it allows you to pivot a lot faster with the information that you have, right? And that's any scenario. And that's just how I kind of look at things, is I provide as much pictures for my guys, and I expect the same in return. So we can have conversations with a customer over the phone and say, "Hey, I'm looking at your pictures. There's 52 of them that I'm going through. You see, I'm going to send it to you because they already have them in their file."
Right.
And we'll just say, "Hey, look at picture number 23. We're looking at the same thing here." So I don't have to physically go out to that site again, because time's something you can't get back, right?
Yep.
I have to drive out there 30 minutes, 30 minutes back. That's an hour of my time wasted, let alone the conversation I have to explain to them. If I can do that over the phone while dealing with other stuff or not having to travel, right, I have it all documented.
Yep.
So I can just look at it. They're looking at the same thing. "Hey, this is what I'm looking at. This is what you're looking at. Here's where the problem is," whatever it may be. Or
right,
explaining the situation, educating them. It just makes it a lot more efficient.
This morning in our networking meeting, somebody literally stood up and said in their 30 seconds, "There's two sides to every story, but the screenshots never lie."
Yeah.
And it's so true. I mean, it's so true. Like, you have your side, I have my side, but then there's screenshot proof
right,
of the truth.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think to that
it doesn't
point,
lie.
Somebody also said that there's three sides to every story.
Yeah,
right?
Your side, my side, and the truth.
Right.
And then there's screenshots.
And then there's screenshots.
To back that truth up.
She was a family law attorney.
There you go. That makes sense.
She knows.
My eyes went like, oh, God.
She knows.
That was a hard close, man. That 30 seconds, she's like, "We'll find them. If they're out there, we'll find them."
Yeah. I mean, trust me when I say she'll find them. I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I used to be the finder. Do you know how many times I would sit and watch surveillance video footage? I used to work for her, by the way.
Okay.
I would sit for hours and watch surveillance footage trying to catch the opposing party walking into a hotel room with the mistress, you know, things like that. Surveillance footage never lies.
Video doesn't lie.
You know, data never lies.
No, I love being data driven. So we're platform second, right? And so I imagine, you know, you have two options in your business. You can be just another heating and air, right? Or heating and cooling, or you can really be the best. And not just saying you're the best. I have this thing where I call it the world's greatest burrito effect. It's like you can always call yourself something. You can say, oh, yeah, we're the industry leader. Or like, we're the name in Dallas for heating and cooling. But, like, what is behind that message? Is it your process? Is it how you treat your customers? You know, is it all your five-star reviews? Is it, you know, the referrals that you get? But you have to create that brand, right? So and maybe I'm wrong. We just met. So, you know, where did that application come from? It's like didn't just show up to Goat Air and say, all right, I got all the sauce. I know how this works. Everyone just trust me. So, like, walk me through kind of your trials that you've experienced along the way that helped you understand why all this is important.
Sure. So 2011, I got into the air conditioning industry right out of high school. I knew I wasn't going to college. I was just, schooling wasn't me. So I figured, hey, what's something that's not going to go anywhere? I had my brother, his roommate, was looking to start an air conditioning company. He was a really smart dude, really intelligent. He just knew. He always said we're never in an air conditioning business. We're in the customer service. And so I learned a lot from him. And again, I went right out of high school. I'm 18, 19 years old, trying to learn this industry and learn something, make a living for myself and my family that I was going to have eventually. And just dialing in value. I started to learn value. A lot of contracts. So where I came from in Florida was Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Naples area. So, and needless to say, you got the Gulf of Mexico on one side, and then you got the Everglades on the other. So it's probably 15 miles from the Gulf of Mexico to the Everglades, and that's all you have in between. And then it goes north and south, right? Tampa,
yep.
Marco Island. So you go up the coast. So needless to say, it's super, super saturated down there with air conditioning companies. Last time I looked, I think there was 2,000 sort of just air conditioning contractors in 60-mile radius. Like, how do you compete with that? There's no shortage of companies. You can find people on Craigslist, on Facebook Marketplace, that you can do it for bigger money on the weekend.
Right.
Right? And it's, how do you compete with that? So I learned early on that the more value you build, right, with the customer experience, the customer service, the company that I worked for was super, super heat-focused in on that very thoroughly. And I picked that up. I'm like, dude, this is the way to do it. Like, you have nothing to lose. If you're going to do it right, do it right. End of the day, greed gets involved with that as well, right? So that's where, you know, we split off, and I never was that type of greedy person. I was like, dude, just do good work, and the work's going to come if you create a brand for yourself. And by doing that is building a boatload of value. Like, as simple as taking the trash cans up. You see it, you parked in the street, and you see a trash can, and the truck just came, whatever, it's empty. Just bring it up without even asking. It's
right.
Just like a non-negotiable, something like that. Picking up trash, touching up paint for something, asking the customer how you can help them. Like, it's just little things that build value for customers, and that goes a long way. People don't think it does, and some technicians, some guys, they just want to get in, get out, and go on about their day. When you have a bigger vision than that, and you know you can affect different people, it comes down to the value you build, and that's kind of what I've always ran with was, hey, if you can provide much value, communicate with customers, talk to them, call them, let them know you're on the way, let them know you're done, take pictures, take documents, explain things, educate them, say, hey, I'm not here to sell you stuff, I'm just here to educate you, you make your own decision. And that's kind of where I've always led with, was I'm not that hard, pushy salesman, I'm here to educate you, I'm very educated in this industry, so I'm just going to lay it all out to you, hey, here's what you can do, A, B, C, or D, what one makes the most sense for you, and financially for you right now. Never pushing people to do something, and that is what people like. They don't like to be cornered.
Not only that, I go completely the opposite. I crush it on the takeaway. You know, it's like I literally can step back three steps, and it's like they can feel it's like the opportunity leaving.
Yep.
Right? They're like, oh wait, you know, I don't want to miss out, you know, on reaching a bunch of people. Blah blah blah. So I think the fact that you installed the method of not being pushy, being knowledge-based, fact-driven, you know, present you know, data like you described.
Yep.
It allows your buyer to make an informed decision that I'm sure you don't get people that regret, right? Because they're well informed.
Yep.
So when they sign the contract, you don't get a call the next morning and say, oh, well, I changed my mind, or, you know, I'm freaking out, because they're so comfortable with the decision that they made for that.
Very little buyer's remorse. And I've seen it time and time with other companies, other people, that they're just like, oh my gosh, did I make the right decision?
Right.
I don't know. I got a couple other estimates and they were a little bit more expensive, but da-da, and they question it, they second guess it. I have maybe had the entire, my career that I've ever sold air conditioning was maybe two or three people had that conversation with, and it was just me, again, re-explaining it to them.
Right.
Because it's a lot of money to some people. Some people may not have that type of money. It's thousands of dollars, right? Unexpectedly, especially. You don't expect that. You come home from work one day and your house is 90 degrees. Like, what the hell do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Get somebody out. They come out and tell you it's going to be an $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 bill. Where the heck did, you don't expect it, right?
Right.
So that's where it's, for me, it made more sense. I know I can put my head down at night, every single night, without a worry in my mind that, hey, I didn't do anybody wrong. I did what I could. I did my job, and give people the option to make a decision.
Right.
And that's where I feel I don't ever stress about that at all, because I know I'm doing right at the end of the day. Just educate. Let them make a decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you love it. I love your logo, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it's cool and fun.
It's fun.
Memorable.
It is cool.
Yeah.
That was the idea. it wasn't like that when the first company that I had, but it all intertwined. And I think it's more personal. Like the first company that I had was Optimum Air, and it was, the colors were blue and yellow.
Right.
And those are only two companies that I worked for. And a lot of people don't know this, but first company was yellow. Other company I worked for was blue. So I was like, I mean, these guys are pretty smart, intelligent dudes. Might as well take somewhat from what I'm learning.
Yep.
Why not merge both the colors together? And then that's what I did. And I was just, you know, R&D, rob and duplicate. What people are doing works. Obviously, if these massive companies are doing it, it's got to work somehow. There's got to be a way to make it work for yourself, or learn
right.
from it, at least gain some type of knowledge from it. And that's just, I just paid attention a lot to what other companies were doing, bigger companies that were a lot smarter than me and had, you know, a lot more.
This reminds me of an interview question that I got when I applied for, what was it? Mr. Cooper Home Loans. At the time, they were one of the largest home loan companies. And the question was, how do you go about counting all the manholes in the United States? So what would your answer be, Caitlin?
I wouldn't even know where to begin. I mean, I have no idea.
It's random, right?
That's like a... Who would ask you that?
That's. I have a feeling that's how you'd answer that.
It's a thought-provoking question.
She'd be like, why are you asking? How does that have anything to do
like
with this
manholes?
Job?
Like, in
yes.
the ground manholes?
Yes. How
are
would
you applying
about?
For a city job or something?
No, the role was loan advice, sales, right? Loan advisor. So that's the question. How would you answer that question?
I wouldn't. Honestly, at that moment in
throw
time,
up on yourself.
At that moment in time, I would probably realize that the job that I was applying for was not for me, and I'd probably get up and leave. To be honest, because how do you answer that?
I don't. I mean, I had an answer. I'll give you my answer. I think it's in line with what we're describing. So, what would be your answer?
What was the question to answer? However many manholes there were?
Yeah, so Chandler, how would you go about counting all of the manholes in the United States?
So, first place I would probably start would be by segregate a state, segregate a city, and then probably somehow correlate like sections, phases, say, hey, this phase we're going to do the north side from this street to this street. We got to count how many there are.
You know, right.
Either by foot or by Google Maps or something that can zoom in. Again, without physically going out there walking there, like I said before,
right.
time is something you never get back. If you're sitting there walking the streets of the whole United States, you're going to be doing that for a while. But either hire teams or some type of satellite to where you can count them, or reach out to each state, the county departments, and say, hey, I need to know all your plumbing, your sewers, where they run, how they run. Give me the blueprints. Ask them, hey, for that, I'm going to get the blueprints.
So is your mind blown right now? A little bit?
Yeah, I mean...
So that's what you're supposed to feel. So my answer was, well, I mean, surely someone's already counted them, so I would just, you know, research that answer, and then, you know, because who am I to try to reinvent the wheel and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I was wrong. I did not get the job.
Well,
but the way he described it, that's the answer, It's not exactly what he said.
It's a problem-solving question.
It's the problem-solving question. They want to see if your brain goes into, like, problem-solve mode.
Well, my brain immediately goes to, like, math. Like, oh, my God, I have to do math, and I'm out. I start having anxiety. I'm not good with numbers. I can't do it. No. If a calculator's not involved, I can't help you.
That's good.
Yeah, so... yeah, I didn't get the job. But to your point, though, Caitlin, I think it was ultimately not a job I want. I think somebody, you know, higher being was probably looking out for me and said, this is probably not your path.
Yeah, so. I can answer your question, but do I want this job? Probably not.
Right.
That sounds like a fun job.
Yeah, that sounds like a crazy thing. So so are you a member of Master Networks?
Yeah, I just joined, I think, last week.
Last week?
Yep.
I've been in a year and a half.
Okay.
And it changed my business.
Really?
Yes. Started the company January 2021. Every month, I mean, it was like one, two customers, maybe three, maybe five, you know, just every month. When I joined in January 2023, everything changed. Everything. I grew to $500,000 in a matter of months.
Really?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Now, it took 4 months to acquire that first referral and really get things traction. But then once it started, it never stopped. And now it's to the point where we can't even walk into this restaurant during a chapter meeting without getting bombarded by people wanting just to talk, or they know someone who could use our service, or they're interested in connecting with because XYZ.
Or they want a job.
Or they want a job. you know, but it's taken so long to build that. But man, it's worth it.
Momentum once you get it. It's full speed ahead.
It's been insane. Yep.
That's awesome.
And I'm just glad I started it. In fact, I'm more pissed that I didn't start it sooner, you know, because it took me 6 weeks to join.
Yeah.
So six meetings. So I was like, nah, I don't want to do it. 300 is a lot. You know, it's actually through what, 375, right, for that first month. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then you don't even know if it's going to work out. But I don't even know why I joined. Honestly, I did a really shitty job the first year.
I joined Master Networks because my former boss came to me and said, the current networking group that we're in is not getting us any referrals. You're now in charge of networking, and I need you to find other places to go. So I got on Google, and I Googled networking near me. And on Eventbrite, there was a thing for Master Networks at Grandscape, and it said that they were specifically looking for a family law attorney. And I was like, oh, I'll go to this meeting on my day off and check it out. You know, I don't mind. Yep. And then I went and I fell in love with the atmosphere, the people. It was really welcoming. It was really fun. I mean, that's like, you need to go visit that chapter, right? Because it really is like the chapter of Master Networks, I feel like. They meet at Walk-Ons right here in Grandscape, right down the road, every Friday morning at 9:30.
Just go for the fun. I mean,
oh, it's, yeah, it's literally like my hangout on Fridays. I go to hang out with my friends there. And I called my boss right after and I said, listen, we need to quit the current networking group that we're in right now, and we need to join this one. If I'm going to be the one going to these places, this is my kind of people. This is where I'm going to build relationships and get referrals.
Right.
And so the rest was history. And then I ended up finding my new job out of it. So here we are.
Look at that.
Yep. But you found it after the session. So that's where people miss the boat, is they go to the chapter meeting, and as soon as 10:30 hits, they bolt. You know, or they're doing other things. You can't do that. You have to develop that extra relationship within the following hour.
Sitting and bullshitting with people for 30, 45 minutes after the meeting is over is where I got 99% of the referrals that I got and the job.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I mean, that's what networking is, just talking with people.
Yep.
Hey, not even about necessarily business, just getting to know somebody deep on a deeper level than just a surface level. Hey, who are you? What's your name? Cool. I know what you do.
Yep. Right.
But understanding people, what their life is about, you know, how many kids they got, those types of things, that's what digs a deeper relationship and roots you know, with these people. And they're like, oh, you know, I talked to this guy, he seems like a pretty trustworthy person, you know, male or female, doesn't matter. But the more conversation you have, I think, is what leads to those genuine conversations and genuine relationships that then say, hey, oh, I remember this is what you do, or, you know, talk more and more about that, and how can I help you, how can you help me.
Yep.
It's a way, make it a win-win.
Yep.
And we help each other.
And that's a new chapter, right? You said that you're starting Fairview.
No,
right?
He just joined Denton.
Oh yeah, Denton. Okay. For some reason, I thought he said Fairview.
No, but what I like about Master Networks, too, is, like, you're the HVAC guy in that group. So if anyone in that group or anyone that knows anyone in that group needs HVAC, like, you're the guy that they're going to call.
Yeah.
You know, they're really passionate about.
You should join
the
Awesome Chapter, man. See, that's so this, that welcome to Master Networks.
Yeah. Let him get his feet on the ground and do it first.
You should join this chapter. You should join this chapter. You should join this chapter. Come to my chapter. No, Denton's a good group. I think you'd be, I think you'd be really happy with that.
Just the time that I did go that Monday. I mean, I stayed around, like you said, 45 minutes after just talking to people. I'm new to the year. I don't know anybody, right?
Hey, even if you don't join the Awesome Chapter right off the bat, I'm just saying it is an awesome chapter, but we don't have an HVAC guy, so you can come visit
until
we do.
Yep, so then you'd have something to do Monday and Tuesday.
And two chapters referring business to you.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
And you can refer yourself, right? To the, you can use your own link.
Yeah, so you can get your one step closer to getting your $300
back.
Yeah, yep. There you go.
And investing it in that second membership.
Find the loopholes. There you go.
Yeah, you just got to watch the video. How long did it take to watch the videos?
Oh, I didn't watch them.
You just hit play
I just
leave?
Turned the volume all the way down and hit play and let it play through. And when it was done, it was done.
That's
I think each video, there was one video that was like 9 minutes, I think. That was the longest one.
Yeah.
So maybe 45 minutes of my...
Gotcha.
I'm just hitting play and end, play and end. I don't know.
Get through it somehow.
The power of Master Networks is going to visit all the chapters and building your network.
Right.
Because quite honestly, just because there's an HVAC guy in that group doesn't mean that Sally Joe likes that HVAC guy.
This is true.
And they may like you more.
Very true.
Yeah.
It's all how you come off to people.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, again, if you're genuine.
And eventually everyone will use you. Like I just used Sill. A tree fell on my neighbor's roof. And he was all upset, you know, because what I found out is the tree could have been 5 miles away. And let's say the tree limb broke and then flew across town and then landed on his roof. It's still his problem.
Right.
It's not my problem.
Right.
Basically. But I was like, well, I want my roofer to go out and take a look. And he was like, you're just trying to. And I was like, no, I know this person so well. I said,
I know she's going to take care of you.
Right. And I can literally hand you 20 other people that I know from my phone that have worked with her, you know.
Right.
So she's vetted. And sure enough, he called yesterday. He's like, who's that little girl lady that you sent over? I said, oh, first of all, her name is Sill, and she's the owner of her own roofing company. That's who she is. I told Sill that story. She's like, you go. But anyway, she ended up being the most educated, data-driven, right, informed person of all the people that he had had come on site. And
right.
So that's what ultimately decided him to use her.
Yeah.
Right before I met you, one of my friends, she texted me at 11 p.m. on a Friday night. She's like, my AC just stopped working. Who do you know? Because she knows I know everyone. Like,
yeah.
I am the connector. And immediately I sent her Roy Cook's contact because he's the only HVAC guy I know, I mean, until now. And by 4 p.m. the next day, he was at her house and had her AC fixed, you know?
Yeah, and that goes a long way. Like, because not only are you referring that person, it also falls back on you. You stick your neck out for somebody. It comes back to you. Either they did a good job, and they're biggest cheerleader, and say, hey, thank you so much for, you know, referring them to me.
Right.
Or they're like, yo, that person you sent me,
I've had that experience.
I don't know about them.
I've had that experience with a company. She asked me for help with another thing, and I'm going to be really vague here because...
Because why not?
Yeah, I'm just going to be really vague. She asked me for help with something. I referred her to somebody. She had a horrible experience with that person. She called me and she said, dude, what the hell is going on with this? Like, appointments have been canceled, rescheduled. Like, nothing is happening. What's going on? And I was like, all right, I got another one. Let me connect you with this person instead. Connected her with the second person. And same day that I connected them, he was out there. He was taking care of the issue. And 2 weeks later, it was completely resolved.
Yeah.
You know, so I've had that experience,
of course,
too.
And again, it's a two-way. You know, it's not only for you sticking your neck out. It comes back full circle.
Yep. Because it's annoying when you refer somebody because you, like, think that they're going to do such a great job. You think you know them. You think you like them. You think you trust them. And then they do a shit job.
Right.
And then you're frustrated.
That ties into the genuine conversations of after the meetings is like getting to know people, you know, more than that surface level.
Right.
Understanding who they are, what their family's like, what they do for fun, hobbies, those types of things. It tells you a lot about
a
person and who they are and what, you know, how they treat other people. And that's what I think, like you said, after those meetings is networking, the actual real networking.
Yes.
Is building genuine conversations and having those conversations and building genuine relationships with people to understand who they are and what they do.
I mean, there was a meeting here at 9:30 this morning. It's almost 2 o'clock and we're still here.
That's funny. But you know, like, there's some magic to that. People
there
know
is.
We're here all day on Thursday, and we, you know, we kind of roll our eyes and whatever, but it's like they see us more and more and more. So, well, I think one of our strategies with this whole networking thing that we're describing is exasperating it to the nth degree of just of being present, you know, going to as many things and functions. And it doesn't mean we have to like stay all night or like do all these things. It's just like being present and in the room. Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I think the goat is cool, that, but it's like you got the shirt, you got the hat. Like, we don't have any of those things. We're finally getting those things. We're meeting with somebody in Master Networks that makes apparel, you know, branded apparel. And so, like, that's our next step. Is making not only us visible but our brand visible.
Man, that's the biggest. That's one thing that I learned earlier on was, if people don't know you, they can't flow you, right?
Right.
How are they gonna know who the hell you are? So my wife would get upset with me a lot of times because I would not go anywhere without my logo on me, whether it was a hat, whether it was a shirt, collared shirt, going to church, something. I always had my logo because it was my name, my brand. I wanted people to know who the heck I was, what I was doing, where I was at.
And it's a cool logo. It's memorable. People are going to remember.
Well,
like,
you can
who's
wear that
guy
at
with
a barbecue.
Cool
freaking, that's cool.
Yeah, who's the guy with the cool goat on a shirt that's wearing sunglasses?
So maybe we need a llama. Look, no.
we can talk about it later.
Sidebar,
we'll have
that
another
one.
Whiteboard meeting.
Y'all are laughing. That's a cool conversation starter. What's with the llama?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. What's with the llama?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a conversation piece. And then they talk to him. They
right.
network with him. They know him. They like him. And yep. now they use him.
So yep. so the concept behind the goat.
See, it's even got a story.
It does. Well, why not? Because now you can tell it to people. Hey, what
right.
is that on your shirt? It's a goat. How'd you choose that? Boom.
Right.
You have a conversation with somebody. Now you get to know them on a deeper level. You get to ask questions and start a conversation. But there's this statistic that we read about, and it's 80% of females in the household make the decision. Females are usually attached to the children. Children are usually with the wives or the mothers of the family. So we actually have a live goat that we take around to neighborhoods and on a leash.
That's cool.
And,
that is
you know,
cool.
For kids to come pet it, because if the kids are going to come, it's going to attract the parents, right? Not that it's a schemey thing. It's just naturally that's what's going to happen.
Right.
So we can get the kids' attention. We give out, you know, we'll give out coloring books, tattoos of the goat air, all of our logos and stuff, because if people are wearing it, people see it, it's just a psychological thing that people correlate us with that, right?
Right.
It takes somebody a certain amount of times to see something before they realize it. Whether it's a tattoo on their kid's arm, whatever it is, their wrist, their hand, like, next thing they know, they're like, oh, shoot, my kid fell in love with this. You know, that we petted a goat. They were giving out popsicles at this event just for free. But that's something that's going to tie to them like that.
Right.
And again, if it's the kids that catch the mothers that make the decision, if we can win the mother over, it's pretty easy to say, if the wife makes a good decision, she's going to say, honey, we need to do this. We're going to use these people. How many times do you think the husband's going to be like, no, absolutely not. We're finding X amount of other people. Because behind that is the value that we're going to deliver. Not only being getting the wife and the kids' attention, we're going to add so much more value compared to everybody else and just
yeah.
dominate overall. So it's just looking at it from a peeling the layers of the onion back and back and back, and how do you get in, dive into these customers' experiences? Because most contractors don't. They just, hey, call you, get out, fix your problem, off we go.
Yep.
And that's all it is.
So I tried this with the cat tattoo. Do you have a cat tattoo?
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah. So that's part of the story. There's more to the story, but part of the story. So
yeah, but his tattoos are like little press-ons that you can take
my,
off.
Yeah,
Yours is very much permanent.
My last company, the logo was a cat, and so my partner and I thought it'd be cool to get cat tattoos. So we did, and now the company doesn't exist. So like,
you're stuck with a cat.
I'm stuck with a cat. I'm gonna turn into like a tuba or something.
So moral of the story: buy the fake ones.
Use the temporary ones. It's temporary.
I should have gotten a T-shirt instead.
Well, it was
of
like when I came to my first Master Networks meeting. It was right around Halloween time, and the city of Louisville was doing this Halloween thing, and we were gonna do a booth. And we were going to take all this candy, and we spent hours upon hours upon hours, because how do you give somebody a piece of candy without something with your name on it, right? Yep. So we printed these little tiny square logos for the law firm, and we tied it to every piece of candy we had. I'm talking 600 plus pieces of candy we tied this logo to, and then the event gets canceled, right? Right the day before because of rainy weather or something. So now we're like, well, shit, what do we do with all this?
I'll throw all that candy in your face when that happened.
Well, I was like, shit, what do we do with all this candy? And then I was like, oh, on Friday, I'm going to that new Master Networks meeting. So I created candy gift bags.
There you go.
not kidding, I handed all of them out. I had business cards in every single one of them, candy, chocolate. Everybody wants chocolate, right? So everybody came to me after the meeting. They wanted to talk. They wanted to give me a business card. They wanted some of my candy. 6 months later, I saw a person for the first time since my first Master Networks meeting, and he remembered me because he was like, oh, you were the girl with the chocolate.
That's smart.
It tied to him.
That's smart.
Yeah.
And so along with that, you know, the subconsciously thinking about it, right? GOAT, most people think, you know, what do you think when you hear GOAT, right?
The greatest of all time.
The greatest of all time. Oh.
I was like, bad.
Yes, you're not wrong. Yet, yes. That is the noise they make. But, you know, deeper down, for me personally, I wouldn't be here without, you know, God, the man upstairs. He gave me tons of opportunities and gave me the blessings to be able to see those all the way through. So when people ask me, like, oh, greatest of all time, I'm like, eh, if you want to call it that. But really, I'm looking at it from God over all things, right? GOAT, that's what GOAT means to me. Mm. Because without that, without him, you know, I wouldn't have the stuff that I've been able to accomplish by my, you know, the age I am and what I've done. It's just, I have nothing to owe it but him. You
know, I've done a lot of praying lately.
Yeah.
I have. You don't even know. I'm not religious. I go to church sometimes. I believe in God. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of praying. A lot of praying. And things are working out because of that.
Look at that.
So it's just getting a little weird.
The power of prayer, baby.
it's getting weird.
It's getting weird. And I also subscribe to just putting things into reality. So like Caitlin will come to me and she's like, and I'm like, post that deal. Put it on the board. Like, let everybody know. She's like, well, I'm not really sure. I'm like, it's not going to come through unless you imagine it into reality.
Yep.
I just still have fear of like putting like new automation sold and then they come to me and they're like, yeah, well, we're not going to do it.
No, so here's what you tell.
Right,
so you
now
say,
anyways.
Say,
I'm like, now I have to go in and say that I was wrong.
Yeah, so you tell them that.
I don't like being wrong.
I already told everybody at our company that you were coming on board.
Like, I don't even want to do it until I have credit card on file. Because then I know for sure, like, I sold that shit, you know?
No backing out now.
No. Sometimes I'll manifest it, and sometimes I'll put it in there before I get credit card on file. But I really don't like it. It gives me anxiety. I don't want to have to go in there and be like, well, I said I did, but, like, I really didn't.
Okay, well, you want anxiety? Go buy something you can't afford, and then...
I did. I bought a house last year. Can't afford that shit, but I bought it.
Oh, killer.
That's a hardcore sales close move right there. Go buy that Louis V that you've been talking about. Go,
oh,
you go buy it.
So
you
bad.
Go buy it.
No, I can't yet. I'm not there yet. It's a $3,000 purse we're talking about. I can't.
Yeah.
Not yet.
I have a $200 belt.
If I'd stop buying my daughter all the clothes that she doesn't wear, I'd have money to buy that purse probably, but it's another conversation.
I have like one thing that's expensive in every category for clothes. I've got an expensive belt that I wear. So I have this orange belt. You probably can't see it because I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt. But it was in my slide. It was in my showcase. And so I had a picture of the belt and it was orange and it was titled like, you know, the orange belt story. And so I came in into my showcase and I said, hey, you know, you've probably seen it, but you probably don't realize or know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I wear this orange belt. And it's like, it doesn't match anything. Like, it's very non-matched to anything, right? It sticks out. I was like, it's durable and it's made out of leather and, you know, it comes from France and all this other stuff. But I was like, the reason I wear it is because everybody else thinks that I shouldn't wear it. And it's like, fuck you, I'm going to wear it, you know, because it makes me happy. And I'm not going to conform just because you think I need a black belt to go with my black shoes. So I'm purposely wearing it to have this attitude of, you know what, I'm going to do what I feel is right in every situation. And even if that means I'm wearing a belt that doesn't match anything, that's what I'm going to do.
100%. That's like all society. That's people get caught up in that, the materialistic stuff. And like, I don't know. I was at an event the other couple weeks ago, and this guy's like, man, guess how much my watch is? I'm like, I don't really care. How much? This is a $10,000 watch. I'm like, okay, cool. Guess how much my watch is? I was like, mine's $14. Like,
yeah.
I have a tan line on here because I never take it off.
Yeah.
Like, it does exactly the same thing yours does, but I don't care about the materialistic stuff. It means nothing.
Right.
It doesn't. So it's never been flashy like that.
That's how I am with my clothes. I don't care about my clothes. I mean, this t-shirt that I'm wearing was literally $7 from Walmart.
I don't care about my clothes. I just think every man should have a nice suit. That's what I would say. So I have three expensive suits because you have a different color. Suits. You can't just have one color.
Like purple.
Like purple.
But unique, because again, who gives a crap what other people think? They're living their own lives. I think people don't realize that, like, subconsciously, we think as our own person. We're like, oh my gosh, we worry about what other people think about us. Everybody's living their own freaking life.
Right.
Yeah. They got their own stuff to worry about. They got their own problems. And it's like, who gives a crap what other people have to think about you? Do what works for you and your family, right, and what makes the most sense and how you want to live your life. And I don't know, it's a super, super simple concept that, I don't know, people just get caught up, especially the social medias,
right,
Instagrams and stuff, like face value, like this is what I want people to see me as, but then behind closed doors, it's completely different.
Right.
And that's just not who I am. Like, right, I tell people all the time, I'm an open book. Like, I've helped many contractors now.
I love transparency.
Guys that...
It's my new thing.
Dude, it's the only way to go. It's the right thing to do. It's just, it's easy. You don't have to hide from anything. Right. You don't have to make up lies.
I don't mean like, I lied my whole life and I just became honest yesterday or anything like that. But I've learned through the businesses that I've had in the past, like inflating numbers or like presenting value that doesn't exist or being like, oh yeah, I've worked with customers like that before. And you know, and then, because then they ask five other questions and then they know you're lying. Yeah. Right.
And you just look like an idiot.
Right. So when Caitlin came on board, you know, I taught her as like, look, I don't have a library of flashy sales decks. You know, we have a video that kind of explains what we do, but like, it's there just in case. It's like, I want you to show real data all the time. It's like literally pull your computer, turn it around, and like point to all the people that we work with.
I've never had to use that video. I don't even know how to find it.
The video's awesome, number
it's
one.
There. But, it's there, but in case
the,
you need
the concept of the video is stupid. When people look at me and they go, can you send me like something that thing? I'm like, I just showed you A to Z how we do the sauce. And now you want to see a video of it, I guess? I don't know. I can't even imagine, like, I don't think I could go sell what you sell and just crush it. I'm sure there's a whole science to it. There's a whole value. There's a way that you reach into people's, you know, pain points or, you know, I wouldn't know where to start. I wouldn't know.
How do you answer the question when people ask you what makes you different than every other HVAC company?
So how I would usually answer that with, again, the previous company that I built. Again, I only have, we've only opened this one, GoDare, for 2 months now.
Right.
But I still say, I'm going to be genuine. I'm going to tell you up front exactly what's wrong. I'm going to walk you through the whole process step by step. You have to take pictures, document all my stuff. At the end of the day, you can decide to go with me, not decide to go with me. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to do what's right for you and your right. experience. But at the end of the day, I rant and rave about people that post on Google, because Google is going to tell you good, bad, ugly. They don't care. They're never going to see you. Not keyboard warriors, but if you do something bad, you treat people wrong, they're going to let people know, so, hey, stay away.
They're never going to leave you a good one, only a bad one.
More than likely, unless you specifically either deliver that type of service, five-star service, and you ask them for a review. That's the only way I found that you get success with that.
Right.
But yeah, if to answer your question, that would be, I mean, listen, I have nothing but five-star reviews. This is what I do. This is my job. Yep. I'm here to deliver five-star expectations and five-star service. I'm not here to run stuff down your throat. I'm going to educate you, explain to you step by step what's going on, take pictures, take documents, and give you an educated decision. I'm going to give you multiple options and say, hey, you can do this, you can fix it, you can replace it, you can repair it. Doesn't matter to me. It's my job to give you all this information, and you do what makes the most sense for you and your family at this time. And that doesn't really give you an educated, you know, a reason to go with us, but I'm just going to be very transparent with you. Like, I'm not here to sell you stuff you don't need.
I'd probably call you if you told me that. Because it's honest.
Yeah, there's nothing to hide. Just, hey, this is who we are. And if we mess something up, we're going to fix it. Stuff happens. We get it. But I'm going to be the first one, like I told you earlier, is headed up. I'm going to not run away from it, not shy away from it. Just say, hey.
So we tell people too?
We made a problem. We made a mistake. Let us fix it.
Most of our customers are local. And I just tell people, I was like, look, if we're going to screw up, which we are, we'll be the first person to look at you in the eye in your conference room and tell you that we screwed up.
Yeah.
We'll go to your house, you know, where you're in control, and we'll tell you we screwed up.
Because again, you just said, I hate saying, you know, I don't want to be that person that says, oh, I can't do it anymore. Take that card back. Right. It's just a feeling that nobody wants to admit that. But on the other side of that other token, it's respectful. People are like, okay, they owned it. Right.
Right.
They're not running away from it. They own it.
Right.
Respect. They made a mistake. They're willing to fix it. They owned it. Cool. That's what life's about, man, is you go through these trials and errors and tribulations that you go through. You make mistakes, but it's how you correct them, how you react to those types of things is, I think, what shows a lot about your character at the end of the day. And if you run from it, you're kind of cowardly. If you head it up, you're respected. And that's just right. How I've kind of looked at it.
Chandler, how do people get in touch with you if they want to work with you? Where are you located?
Google. We do a lot of work in the DFW, the Metroplex area. Best way is Google us, GoatAir. GoatAirTX.com is our website. We're doing a little bit of a revamp to that. Obviously, being somewhat new, we're still trying to get that out there and revamp that. We got online quoter on our webpage and give you quotes online without having to have that salesperson come out. Nice. Again, what I've been talking about is time, something you can't get back.
Right.
If you're sitting there with 3, 4, 5 different estimates that all take an hour and a half each, that homeowner's never going to be able to sit there for 5 hours. If they are, they're wasting that, 5 hours worth of time. But our phone number is 940-477-8333. That's the best way to get a hold of us. That'll call our office directly, and we'll get somebody out within, that same day for sure. More than likely, be able to fix your problem on site. If we can't, it's maybe 5%, 10% chance that we can't fix it and we have to run to a supply house to get the materials, but all our trucks have, stock parts on them. Get people back up and running, that's the idea of it.
So. Beautiful.
Perfect. Well said.
Love it.
Yeah. Chandler, thank you, sir, so much.
Thank
it's a pleasure.
You guys. I appreciate the opportunity to let me talk with you guys and get our name out there. Goat Air.
Yes, sir. Goat Air. Get the shirt. You
Goat
sell the
like
shirts?
The animal.
I wear the shirt.
I love the shirt. Like, I kind of want one for
it's
myself.
It's
it is. It's cool.
I'll tell you, if you sell me a hat, I will wear the hat.
You got it.
Loves a good hat.
I do love hats.
I know.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys.